You got to love the Bernie Madoff sentencing hearing today because it involves so many contradictions about this recession, about even the notions of justice altogether. I mean, Bernie Madoff, okay, the worst swindler, the greatest swindler of all time, $50 billion if you buy that number. But on the other hand, it's just lots and lots of rich people miserable in the middle of a recession where people are experiencing all kinds of hardships. That kind of level of contradiction and you know, the challenge of the issue of justice attracts many people, but it certainly attracts author and comedian and our friend Berowitz Report author, Berowitz.com Report author, Andy Berowitz, who joins me in the studio this morning, who's actually written a book giving some suggestions for Bernie Madoff surviving in prison, Who Moved My Soap, The CEO's Guide to Surviving in Prison. Andy, thanks for being here.
It's great to be here, John. What a historic day.
It is a historic
day.
And let's just begin with some gravitas. I mean, there are legitimate...
Can I leave while somebody else provides the gravitas?
I'll help you with that. Thanks. I'll be your gravitas support group here. There are interesting contradictions about whether you throw the book at this guy or is it a white-collar crime against a bunch of white-collar victims. You know, it seems to me the judge has a little bit of a challenge here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the irony in this, there are so many ironies, as you pointed out, but one of the biggest ironies is, you know, if you think of, like, Bernie Madoff came forward and said, I lost, you know, billions of dollars of other people's money, and it's not to be found anywhere. He probably expected the government to give him a bailout, because that's what everybody else did. You know,
declare himself a bank. Yeah,
absolutely. Exactly. He should have just declared himself a bank, and he'd be cool, because... when you think about it, the levels of criminality, we do have, you know, AIG and all these companies that basically, you know, through a lot of, I would consider, in my view, criminal dealings, lost a lot of money. I mean, where do you draw the line between a Ponzi scheme and credit default swaps?
It's true. I mean, there is that ambiguity there.
That's right. The
question of risk. I mean, you hand your money, you hand $1 million to a stranger, and then you don't ask any questions. You know, 10 years go by and you're supposed to have like double the money.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's sort of the scheme that he was able to take advantage of. And of course, the victims are, you know, heartbroken and devastated on every level. But it does, it is kind of a commentary on the Wall Street exuberance of the last 20 years.
Well, to give you some idea, I wrote a first pass of this book, Who Moved My Soap, the first edition. This is now the golden Bernie Madoff edition, which every collector needs to have.
Right.
But the first edition. I was standing outside the courthouse 6 years ago when Sam Waxel, who was Martha Stewart's M-clone guy.
Yes.
And I remember going on a million shows like this, and Takeaway didn't exist then, but you know, your predecessor shows did, and everybody was sort of saying, this will never happen again. We're going to have regulations, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to let these CEOs rip us off. And now, John, I got to tell you, the problem of CEO prison overcrowding is greater than ever. We've got Alan Stanford waiting in the pipeline. I mean, we're going to have to be building more prisons. Do you want these people living near you? That's my question.
And they require so many more square footage than your average criminal. Let's talk
Absolutely.
About advice for white-collar criminals. Anticipating a sentence which is going to give him some prison time.
Right.
Where's Madoff likely to go, and what's he going to see when he, you know, rubs his eyes on the first morning in prison?
Well, you know, I to give you a little history, I wrote this book because I'd read in the New York Post, my favorite news source, that Madoff's relatives were looking for some kind of guide to prison life, and I just thought service journalism. I've got to fill that gap.
Help them out.
And you know, this book is a message of hope. For Bernie, I am really trying to say, you know, keep positive. You're just trading one gated community for another. That's the way he's got to keep it in mind. I really think Bernie could
He had three gated communities.
He had many.
He had three or four houses.
He had many. I have some specific advice for Bernie. Some of it, you know, is cautionary and some of it is more upbeat, as I said. The cautionary advice I would say is, you know, in prison, there are these very tough, very mean Palm Beach gangs that you see. You know, you've heard of course, the Gefilte Kings. I mean, these people just, there's a bounty.
There's a bounty on
Bernie, and I just think he's got to watch his back. On the positive side, there's a lot that Bernie can do that won't really require a change in lifestyle once he's in prison. For example, a prison is really a perfect place to create a Ponzi scheme when you think about it, because one ingredient that a Ponzi scheme needs is constant infusions of new blood. And prisons always have a tremendous turnover, and there are people who get there, and they're novices, they're rookies, they don't know what's going on. And I think that Bernie will see them as easy marks, especially when you think about CEOs in prison. These are the most gullible people, because every CEO who ever testifies at his own case always says, I had no idea what was going on around me. I was totally clueless. It was all of my subordinates who were doing this whole thing. So I think Bernie's got a really good market for
it. So it's going to be really familiar. I mean, he spent his time dealing with very rich investors and foundations and nonprofits,
right,
we should point out, who are devastated as a result. But a lot of these CEOs wanted their money in Madoff's special accounts.
Exactly.
He's going to find all these CEOs who are serving time now for their own problems, and he's going to take advantage of them once again.
Exactly. I just think don't count Bernie out. I think it would be premature.
What if you were his cellmate? What would that be like?
Well, Bernie is very particular. I understand the people who worked with him, at Madoff Securities said that he wanted everything to be super tidy, and he was very particular about that stuff. I think that may be kind of the Felix Unger. He might be a very tricky guy to live with. I don't know if most prisoners are going to be up to his level of tidiness, but I think he could be kind of tricky.
So in terms of where he would be sent, we can probably rule out Pelican Bay, right?
Well, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure to put him away somewhere kind of rough. I mean, I don't think this guy's going to country club prison. I guess there's some debate about how much time he's going to. I'm going to head over to the sentencing. I'm going to be covering it live.
There are already satellite trucks arriving like at 3 in the morning.
I know. It's amazing. We know Borowitz report. I usually like to report on the news before it happens, which gives me a tremendous leg up. But I guess they're now debating. I guess his people want 12 years and the government wants 150 years. So I think they'll settle somewhere around 81 and everyone will be happy.
Even 12 years could end up being a life sentence for Bernie Madoff.
He's 70.
At age 70. 71,
he's,
I think.
Yeah,
I think 71.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Andy Borowitz, continue your coverage. He's going out to the courthouse, right?
Yeah, and I'll be available if we get some word.
We will talk to you at a little after 9 this morning. Author and comedian and author of the BorowitzReport.com and author of Who Moved My Soap, The CEO's Guide to Survival. Surviving in prison.